Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Bill. We're going to have a scripture that is taken from John 12, and we already heard a little bit of it, but would you please open up your Bibles and your in the pew rack there in front of you, or the Bible that you brought with you. That's all fine. Now, this is chapter 12. It's on page 106 towards the back. John 12. Now, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, I ask that you would inspire this time that we might hear your word through these words. Let your Holy Spirit just flow throughout the congregation. We open ourselves to you, Lord Jesus, and the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit that Mary showed. Amen. As we read John 12, it's important to realize that Jesus has 6 days before Passover. It is 1 week before he is to go to the crucifixion. And I want to ask you, and I really am going to ask you this, what would you do if you knew you had 1 week to live? Think about that for a second. You got 1 week to live. You got 1 week left. How would you spend it? What would you do with that week?
See everybody I knew.
See everybody you knew. Who else?
On your knees.
On your knees. What would you do with that week?
Visit relatives.
What else would you do with that week? Anybody else? Karen? Oh, you're just rubbing your nose. So sorry. John, what would you do with that week?
Do as many things as I could as far as helping people.
Helping people. Do as many. I'm sure each of us, I really wonder what we would do. I really wonder. Now, here was Jesus' idea, which sounds a little bit like what you've been saying. He spent time with the people who were most important to him. In chapter 11, Jesus healed his dear friend Lazarus. He brought him back from the dead, and then he went out into the desert. Whenever he goes out into the desert, we assume it's for time of prayer and fasting. Then he comes back to Bethany, and he comes back to be with his best friends, Lazarus and Martha and Mary and the disciples, the people who were closest to him. Why? Because he knew that he could have the greatest impact on their lives. And we wonder, who are the people who are closest to you in your life? Those are the people that you can have the greatest effect on in their life. Just like Sandy's going out to California, I think. It's going to have an effect on their life, you know, because you're going out with the Lord. Amen. And in John 12, 2, they're giving a dinner in Jesus' honor, and Martha served. Any surprises there? No, Martha's serving. Lazarus is among those at the dinner table, reclining at the table, doing nothing to help Martha, of course. Any surprises there? Not really. And Mary comes in with a pint of pure nard, fragrant ointment, an expensive perfume. And she breaks the alabaster jar and she pours out the ointment on Jesus' feet, and the room is just filled with the smell of that wonderful perfume. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that smell? Can you imagine the most beautiful smell you can possibly imagine in your mind, in your imagination? Smell that right here in this room today. Oh, wow. I can imagine it. And then she wipes his feet with her hair, and the house is filled with the fragrance. What are Martha and Lazarus and Mary doing? They are all worshiping Jesus. Each one of them, Martha, Lazarus, and Mary, are each worshiping Jesus, but they're worshiping him in a different way. Lazarus is worshiping Jesus simply by sharing fellowship, just by being with him, by listening and talking with him. What do we call that? Listening and talking to Jesus. Prayer. Sure. Prayer. Hanging out together with Jesus. What do we call that? Fancy word.
Fellowship.
Communion. Communion with Jesus Christ. Lazarus is worshiping Jesus simply by being with him at the table. Martha is worshiping Jesus by serving at the table. And that was Martha's personality. She was a doer. She was a true servant of Jesus. And by the way, when Jesus corrected Martha a time earlier, remember, he wasn't criticizing her for all the work she was doing, getting food prepared for the disciples, while Mary sat at Jesus' feet. He was admonishing her for her judgment of Mary, who had a different personality, a different way of worshiping Jesus. How do you feel closest to the Lord? Is it by serving? When you're doing something, you feel really close? I see a couple of heads nodding. You can understand Martha. Or maybe it's just by talking with him in prayer. Or is it in fellowshipping with other Christians? Maybe like Lazarus. Being together with other Christians, you feel close to God. But you know, once again, Mary in the scripture here is criticized for being who she was. For just being who she was. She gets picked on too much. And being criticized for what moved her. And Judas, you remember, we just read it, lashes out and says, she's wasting money. It could go to the poor. And of course, as we remember from the scripture that we read, he really didn't give two figs about the poor. He was just interested in stealing the money himself, right? Right? Okay. Are you with me today? Am I with you? Okay. He wanted to steal the money so that he could get for the perfume. And what does Jesus say in Matthew 26:13? I'll read it for you. He says, I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. And hey, what are we doing this morning? We're telling the story of Mary in fulfillment of the prophecy of Jesus. I find that rather exciting. I feel a connection there. That ointment, that nard, that aromatic herb grown in the highlands, the pasturelands of the Himalaya Mountains, far off Tibet in India. It was rare. Cost, as we heard earlier, a year's wages. It's an extravagant gift. It's a sacrificial gift. It's a misunderstood gift. But what is Mary saying through that gift? She's saying that more than anything else, she values Jesus. How about you? What extravagant gifts have you given? Maybe it's not financial. A mother gives an extravagant gift, the gift of life to her child, huh? At birth. It costs her a great deal of pain and discomfort to give the gift of life to that child. Why does she do it? She does it because she loves that child, even though she may not have seen the child yet. A parent, as the children grow up, give the child an extraordinary amount of time and attention and work and money to raise the child. Love is expressed through a great sacrifice. Yeah, I was at a funeral not too long ago, and the two children, grown children, said of their father who had passed away, no matter how tired he was, and he worked long, long hours, he always came to every game. You know? And I thought, there you are. An extravagant gift. Extravagant gift. How about Jesus? How do you love Jesus? Is it by spending extraordinary amounts of time in prayer and reading Scripture? Is it serving others in need? Or maybe beautifying the church? Or taking time to go to meetings? Or work on projects? Or creating beautiful music? You know? I know a couple who were here at 7 a.m. last Sunday morning. I didn't get here at 7 a.m. Sunday morning, but there was a couple here at 7 a.m. Sunday morning to help set up for the cookout that many of us enjoyed. I think that was extravagant. That was wonderful. Extravagant gift. How do you worship? Maybe it's by your financial generosity. You say you're a Christian, and as a dear friend of mine once said, it's time to put my money where my mouth is. Wow. Giving sacrificially to the work of the Lord at church and in mission. Or maybe you get criticized for what you do. Maybe you get criticized for coming to church by some friends or some relatives. What are you wasting all your time doing that for? You know, you could be making money playing at weddings. No. Okay. You'd rather be here. Well, Mary was criticized by Judas, wasn't she? She was even criticized by her own sister. For what? For being extravagant in her love for the Lord. You know, sometimes there's something inside of us that holds us back when the Lord invites us to make an extravagant gift. Mary could have said, maybe the time's not right. I feel like I should do this for Jesus. I've saved up all this money. I've bought this nard for him, but maybe I'll wait till the disciples aren't here, and maybe somebody won't like it or something like that. Imagine if she had said, I'll do it the next time. But you know, there wasn't going to be a next time, was there? Because Jesus was going to the cross. And this was his anointing, he says, before his death, before his burial. He was going to die on the cross in a week. So when God motivates you to offer, I'm calling it extravagant, something terrific, a terrific action of love in your heart, say, Lord, I don't understand all the reasons why, but the timing is now to do it.
Don't wait to show your love. Don't wait to show your love. Follow the touches of the Lord on your heart and in your mind. And worship God, love Him, and love others in His name with a sometimes extravagant love. God bless you.